This is Earl Mann. I'm taping for the Dearborn County Oral History Project. It's May the 22nd, 1990. I'm talking to Carrie Holzbrocker on Parkside Avenue in Greendale. Carrie, could you tell us something about yourself, about where you were born and your family, and a little bit about your early family life, if you can do that?
Well, I was born in Manchester Township, December the 27th,
I can't remember that date, 1897,
is that right? 1897, and there was four boys, and I was the only girl. And my oldest brother was Alfred, he's deceased, and I had a brother Robert, and he's deceased, and brother Carl, and he's deceased, and my brother Butch is in the hospital now. And I was the only girl, so I was a tomboy. All I ever heard from the time I was big enough to play with them, to do things, we had to play ball. And I was much of a ball player as they was. And that's the way it went, from one thing to another, just always with the boys. In them days, we didn't have ways to go places like they do now. We walked. And we all helped on the farm with milk cows and fed chickens and fed the hogs. And our children nowadays wouldn't do that. And we hauled in hay, we planted corn. I was too young to hold the one-horse corn planter and drive the horse, so my brother Bob sat on the horse and guided the horse, and I planted the corn. And we had corn, we cut corn and put it in shocks, and had them days we shredded corn. They had the home kind of shredder, and they hauled the big shocks of corn in and fed it into the machine, and that's the way we had to do then. And hauling in hay, my dad would cut the hay, and when it was dry, we'd rake it and pile it in bunches and haul, put it on the wagon and brought it in. And a load of the money, a load of hay, and helped put the hay on the wagon. And let's see.
Your maiden name was Bentel, is right?
Brandt.
Brandt.
Brandt,
okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Brandt.
Okay.
George and Christina Brandt were my parents. And my father was a commissioner, county commissioner at one time.
Tell us a little bit about your school life. When you started, where, how you got there, did
well,
you like it?
We moved, I don't know what year we moved to York Township. That we lived in York. We lived in York Township at all our farming time that I could help with. And we went to school at the little old brick schoolhouse on Greenbrier Road. We didn't have no school bus. We walked, carried our lunches. When the snow was deep, I had a distant cousin, Florence Ellinghausen, and I went to school. When the snow was deep, our fathers would take us on horseback. We always called him Uncle Lou, put his daughter Florence on first, and then he'd get on, and he'd come over and pick me up. My dad would put me on the horse, and we'd go down to school. But when the next day was my turn to take, we had an old white horse. And my dad put me on, and Uncle Lou would put Florence on. We'd go to school, and I'd pull the bridle rein up tight, and the old horse would go home by himself. And we walked in snow up to our knees lots of times going to school.
Was this a one-room schoolhouse?
Yes, it was a one-room schoolhouse, and we had an old big pot-bellied stove. You'd be so hot around it, but outside it would be cold. And we had Oh, Oliver P. Shooter was a teacher. I can remember. Oh, the oldest one was a Lizzie Wiedemann. She lived on York Ridge. And I had O.P. Shooter, and we had Ray Kyle, and May Eustace. I can't think. And I remember Ray Kyle used to come down, and he walked from his home on Possum Ridge to school and felt boots. And Oliver Shooter, he came with a horse hitched to a cart. And
when the weather was good, were there other activities at the school?
Oh yeah, it was a ball game. We all played ball. And whether the snow was on the ground, a lot of them went sleigh riding. But that was one thing I couldn't do real well.
What kind of subjects do you have there at the school? With one teacher, how'd they handle that?
Oh, we went from little on up, ABCs, if they didn't know them days, if they did now. We learned them in school, and we learned to write and to read. We had all blackboards. We done a lot of arithmetic work on blackboards. Chalk.
Did you use chalk slates at the desk?
No.
Paper.
Paper, yeah, we used paper. And we had old ink wells on the, and pen. And we had real writing books too. We got graded on our writing. It was on there, and we had to write to fill them pages.
Do you have spelling bees?
Oh, yes, That was one that I wasn't too good at that. My brother was. And he was good in arithmetic, but I wasn't that good in arithmetic.
What was a spelling bee like? Can you describe that?
No, they never had that, but they did. They used to different schools go together and have a spelling bee, but I never did go to any of them.
How about other kinds of entertainment for the family?
We didn't have much entertainment. Only time we had that was when we had pie socials, and they sold pies, and the men would bid on the pies, and whoever the pie belonged to had to eat the pie with them. So that, and they sold, had ice cream and stuff like that. But
do you have dances?
Nope. Oh no, we didn't have no dances at that time. They all went in horse and buggies, and we didn't get around them days.
How about the church and religion? Did you go there? Did you go to church very much?
Yeah. There's three families on our road that went together, and we went to Blair to church at that time, the Lutheran church. And we all took turns, the three families took turns, took us children to Sunday school. But the parents didn't get to go then. It was only the driver, most definitely.
Do you remember when they started delivering mail to homes in the country?
Yeah, I can't remember just when, but it was a horse and wagon that they used to deliver mail. John Vogelsang, I think, was the, I don't know whether he was the first, I know he delivered mail, but I can't remember.
Your parents were active in politics then?
Oh yeah.
During that time?
They were strong Democrats. My mother wasn't much of a, but my dad was a very strong Democrat.
Did you?
And he'd walk from Greenbrier Road over to Yorkville when he was on election board, early of the mornings. And sometimes they was on, it was hard time to get somebody on. He went a horseback right over there.
Did you have political rallies?
Oh, they might have. I don't remember that. They always voted over in Yorkville. We was a tail end of York Township.
Do you remember anything about Woodrow Wilson as president?
Oh, we had time. I don't about Wilson, but Teddy Roosevelt. Okay. We buried him. Yeah, that was all at the school, and they all we carried flowers and stuff, and then kids, how kids were, but we had the good time of it though, but nobody, you know, got hurt or bad or anything like that.
When you say you buried him, that was
because he got beat in election.
Were most people in favor of participating in World War I? Were they active?
I don't know. My husband was in service.
Can you tell a bit about what it was like when he
was
in service?
But he didn't. He was ready to go across, but he never had to go across.
You were married at that time?
Yes. No, I wasn't. We married then, later.
Did you ever visit service camps where he was stationed?
Yes. Not where he was at. I didn't know him at that time, but my son was in the service, and I visited the camp. Let's see, where was that? It was down south. It wasn't Texas.
But that was World War II.
Yeah, that was right. World War II. No, I didn't visit any of them in World War I.
Do you remember any activities connected with World War I, like parades or gatherings to support it?
I can't remember that I did.
Were there very many German, there were descendants around here that did they have any difficulty during the World War I period, the German descendants?
I don't remember that.
Remember the coming of the telephone?
Yeah, but I couldn't. I remember it was a great thing.
When you got your first one at home?
Yeah. Yeah, we, main thing was to get hold of the doctor when we had to have it.
Do you know about when that was, your first telephone?
No.
Was it before World War I?
Yes.
Okay, you mentioned the doctor. Were doctors available to come to your house?
Yes,
then?
Dr. Elliott from Guilford, Indiana, and always a very good doctor.
Did he usually attend the birth of babies, or was that mostly family affair?
No, he attended birth of babies too, because he was there when my son was born.
Do you remember the flu epidemic of 1918, 1919?
Oh, yes.
Can you tell us anything about that?
I wasn't married then, but I got married shortly then. Yes, I, my husband's sister was married at that time at the home at Whitesburg, and the day after next morning after the wedding, there was four of them come down sick with the flu, and she was one of them. And I was there, and I had to stay. And the mother got down, and two boys. Maybe you think that wasn't having a time and not having any bathroom in the house. So,
what could they do about the flu? Did they any medication they could take?
Yes, they had medicine, but if it's mostly, I think, for fever, because they all had such awful high fever. And I think they must have gave him something for bowel, because that was a main job.
Do you remember very many deaths as a result of that?
Yeah, there was a lot of deaths at that time, I think. But they all pulled through it, but they all stayed in bed. We had to hold them sometimes because their fever was so high.
Okay, Carrie, can you tell us something about gatherings they did have, like quilting parties or quilting affairs? Remember any of those?
Well, the churches nearly all quilted. But, well, they did have different times that come to the home to quilt. But mostly they went to the churches and was quilting that I went to. I done a lot of quilting myself.
Did the churches have the quilting affairs to raise money? Did they sell them?
Yeah, they raised. We quilted for other people. But nowadays, it's you do a lot, get a lot more money for than what we did when we first started out. And you used to have 12 of them sitting around the quilt. They opened the whole thing up, and we'd all be around the quilt, and we'd have a really enjoyable time, and we all took our own lunch and eat and went back quilting again.
Do you remember having your first automobile when you got that?
Let's see. Yeah, it was a Model T Ford, and I never tried to crank it until my husband's mother got sick and he was working, and they wanted me to come, and I cranked that thing up, and I had to back it out of the barn, and I got it out, but I got out there too.
That was the first time you ever drove it?
No, I have driven it, but I never did have to start it to crank it. And I remember when we got the gear shift, the first gear shift, I said I couldn't drive that. And old Dr. Elliott says, anybody can drive a Model T and do it with your feet. Why can't you do it with your hands? So I did drive.
How about the radio when it came to your house? You remember getting those?
Yeah. The first one we had was a battery radio.
Remember any of the programs?
No, I can't. I don't remember. I know we'd awful had to be awful sad and not use it much because we didn't have money to buy batteries.
How about the 1920s on the farm? Were those fairly good years for farmers?
I can't remember that, what year. Sometimes we had good years, and then I didn't farm. My father did, but he worked. He finally got work at Shenley's. Oh, we were out of work, and my son had scarlet fever and diphtheria right after that. And I'm telling you, we were quarantined, and we didn't have anything to go on, and my doctor wanted to have the township help us pay on it. But my husband said no, and old Doc says, all right, if you can just pay. He said, don't worry about it. He said, when you get your paycheck, if you can pay $5 a week whenever you get your paycheck, he says, I'm satisfied if it takes a long while. We had two doctors, he was very bad.
This was in the 1920s, when this happened?
I can't remember now. I forget how I even, I can't, my mind isn't too good what comes up later, mm-hmm. but earlier, but I, and they had lost several cases of with diphtheria at that time.
Said, you said you weren't a farmer. Did your husband work in the factory then?
Yeah, then he tried to get work wherever. He worked for a farmer, and he got up before daylight and went and helped milk the cows, and he walked there and back. It wasn't that far, but he did that. And when my son was little, why, he'd never seen him maybe for a week, because he'd be gone to work before he woke up of a morning, and he'd be in bed sleeping when he come home of a night. Them days we worked till dark, farmers did. And my father helped us along when we lived in, he fixed up a house for us, and my mother was, had heart trouble, and I helped them out. And finally he got work at Shenley, and that's the way we, it was hard times, I'll tell you.
Did you go to Cincinnati very much, or larger, like Lawrenceburg, Aurora? Did you visit those places very often?
We went to Lawrenceburg and Aurora about once a week. And sometimes, but then we did, then we drove horse and buggies too, yeah, when we first went then. But then after we got cars, we usually went once a week to get groceries or stuff that we had to have. But going in Cincinnati, the only time we went was when, if somebody was in, had to go to the hospital in Cincinnati or something.
How did you go to Cincinnati?
Well, we went in cars then. We didn't have, I drove a time or two, but not, just up first. Parking at Chilto's, but no, I only did that one time. But I wouldn't do it more.
Before cars, how did you go in?
We didn't go then. I don't know what time, how long the hospital's been up here, but it was before that, though, I don't know. Because my father and mother both died at home.
Okay, do you remember any home remedies, we were talking about medicine, that you used or made and used?
Yeah.
Can you tell about some of those?
Oh. They used to make a hot toddy or whiskey, some, you know, if they had a cold or something like that, or outside of that. And, oh, you have an old-fashioned way of, for a cold, greasing yourself up with goose grease. And that was... And skunk grease, some of them used. And I tell you, that is something. That is, when my dad had the, let's see, what was it he had? And he had to be go take the hospital. He did, he was out of his head, what do you call it? That was the worst I'd ever seen. We had the, they had him chained in bed. Oh, I forgot what they called that.
You took some home remedies then to him?
Then one time the doctor said, you got any whiskey in the house? Now, I mean good whiskey. I don't mean none of that rot gut stuff, he said. And we didn't, my folks never had. But we knew our neighbor had. So they gave, he said, give George a teaspoonful. And it did help, I guess, because the doc asked him the next day when he come, asked him if it helped. He said, well, it wasn't enough to whet my whistle. But it did the work, I guess. That's what we had to give him.
How about after the Depression started, say after the early 1930s, your husband went to work at Schindler's, which must have been after the repeal of Prohibition. Is that right?
No, I can't imagine.
But he was working there up before World War II.
Yeah, he died in December of 52. And he was working there in Shenley at the time when Lester, my son, was in service. I know that. And I helped. I was working there at some then, too.
You remember the from the middle 1930s on, did life seem to get a little easier? Were there more jobs available?
Yeah. Yeah, he tried to get work wherever he could try. He tried to get on the county, and he couldn't get on the county. It was politics, you know. And so they wouldn't give him a job. He worked for the state a while, and wherever he could get work, he worked. And Neil Savage is the one that got him to come to a job at Shenley.
Did you attend the county fairs, entertainment of that nature?
Yeah, we always went to the fairs.
What were they like?
We went to the old fairground in Lawrenceburg down here when they had it. That was a big treat for us.
What did they have at those fairs at that time?
Oh, they had horse racing and merry-go-round and cattle, but nothing like they have now.
Carrie, can you tell us something about your experiences in riding the train?
The first train I ever rode on was with my father and mother. We went to Muncie, Indiana. They had friends there. And then I never was on a train anymore, I went to Whitesburg on a train from Bonnell, Indiana, and I took a trip to Florida on a train one time. That was the last train time trip I had, was to Florida. See the Reds play.
Okay. Did you belong to any organizations, like farm organizations or political organizations?
Yeah, I belonged to the Farm Bureau.
Okay. Can you tell something about your activities in the Farm Bureau?
Well, I just had the automobile insurance. But we always, if they had fairs, or I never got to go to any place where they had their meetings. Well, we had Farm Bureau meeting once a month, but I always went if. That it, you know, was just like almost a get-together.
And can you tell us about some of the home products you put up, some of the canning you did?
Oh, well, we had a garden, and we canned pretty much everything, green beans, corn, and cabbage, and everything that was available, canned tomatoes. And nowadays, they freeze away.
Say, around the World War I or 1920s, did you use glass and tin to can with at that time?
Yes. Yeah, we used tin cans for canning tomatoes in all the time, and we see almost sealing wax to make them.
did they keep pretty good at
yes,
that time?
Uh-huh. But you had to be awful careful with them, so you didn't break that seal on them. But the tomatoes kept real good in them. I don't know, maybe other people might have canned other stuff in, but that's the only thing we used was the tomatoes. But we did all the canning we could, because that's what we lived off in the wintertime, mostly.
How did you keep the meat?
Oh, well, the meat was salted, and then it later on, a lot of, well, we used to all smoke our meat to keep it. And after we had it smoked, it had to hang, be in salt so long, and then and hang it and smoke it, and then they wrapped in bags to keep flies and stuff in. And that was always in the dark shed.
This is Earl Mann. This is the end of the interview with Carrie Holzbacher on Parkside in Greendale, May the 22nd, 1990.